Good morning, church, and welcome back to this week's message. We are gathering yet again for an online moment of worship and looking to God's Word together. And it certainly has been wonderful just seeing the weather warm up and the flowers are beginning to blossom, and there's certainly a lot more green going on in our community than a month ago. I love this time of the year. Anyway, so certainly I just want to begin just by welcoming you back to this time that we can share together. I hope you are well and that you are comfortable in your home, wherever you are listening to this message today. Now, I wanted to begin this morning with just a moment of prayer and praise. There are a few prayer requests that I wanted to share with our church family this morning for items that you can be praying for, but also there are some praise God sharing items as well. First of all, I just invite you to pray this morning for Taylor Jeffs. Now, Taylor Jeffs is our friend, and she is the daughter of Derek and Karen Jeffs, their youngest daughter. And she was diagnosed with leukemia. And so we want to be praying for Taylor today. She is presently in Sick Kids Hospital receiving treatment for this type of cancer of the blood. And so, of course, this was a very shocking news. And so we want to just be praying for Taylor that her body continues to respond well to the tests and the treatments that she's going through. So please remember Taylor Jeffs in your prayers today. Also, please remember George Scott in your prayers. After George's recent tests, he doesn't have to be seen now for 8 weeks. So he had a really positive report. The spot on his liver has reduced. The spot on his lung is stable. It's not growing. And so no further treatment is required at this time. George feels very good about it all and really thanks us, his church family, for our prayers. So this report certainly was a praise God item. So continue to just uphold George in your prayers as well. And also this morning, please remember the Mahoney family in your prayers. Now, Scott's dad, Lynn Mahoney, passed away suddenly, I think just almost 2 weeks ago. And so we want to just remember Scott and family in prayer and those connected to to Lynn, other family members, just in this time of grieving and mourning. So please remember the Mahoney family in your prayers. It's also important that we keep praying for our leaders. Doug Ford, our premier, and Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, let's continue to remember them in our prayers as well as they navigate our province and this country through we've never been through something like this before. So we just want to be praying for their ongoing wisdom and that the Lord will place God-fearing and Bible-believing Christians in their life that will influence them and guide them to making the right decisions as they govern us. So let's continue to remember our leaders in our prayers. And then also, before we go to prayer, let's just remember also those that are struggling in their homes, perhaps with mental and health issues, with family issues. Please continue to reach out to one another. Please give each other calls and connect with one another through email or texting and just keep praying and getting updates from each other so that we can know how we can be praying for each other. Let's take this moment to pray before we open God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you today for being our solid rock and our source of strength. We thank you today for answered prayer. And for your comforting presence in times of crisis. Lord, we also thank you today for your grace and mercy. Lord, we look to you because there is no one like you. And Lord, we believe that nothing is impossible with you. Lord, we thank you today that although we cannot yet gather together physically, we can still gather from our homes to pray for one another and to be encouraged by the power of your living word. Lord, today we ask that you would bring healing to those who are sick and suffering, especially, Lord, from cancer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for complete healing in Taylor Jeff's life and in George Scott's as well, and for others as well in our church family that, Lord, are battling with cancer. Lord, we thank you today for the doctors and nurses and treatment, Lord, medicine that we have available to us in this country when we are sick. And so, Lord, we lift these families up to you, and we pray that you would fill them with your heavenly peace and with your healing power. Lord, we also pray today that you would help us to be patient and kind to one another. Lord, forgive us for when we have sinned in our anger or have fallen into temptation. Lord, we need you every day. And so, Lord, we now humbly submit to you. And as we look to your word, Holy Spirit, please help us to understand what we read and what we hear. And grant us the strength to apply it to our lives so that our faith is being built up. Lord, we thank you again for hearing our prayers. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now this morning we are continuing our series from the book of James. James is writing to early Christians, and he's writing to us about the practical Christian life. Now today's passage deals with the topic of making plants. Now all of us make plants. How many of you have already started making plans for lunch today? Or perhaps, how about plans to do something later today or later this weekend? Or about even this summer? Even with everything that's going on, I'm sure many of us are still planning out what their summer is going to look like. How many of you are planning and hoping to retire one day? I do, and I only have about 23 years left to hit that target. Many of us make different types of plans. Every day, daily plans, weekly plans, whether it be today, tomorrow, or many, many years from now. Now, I want us to turn in our passage today to James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, where James addresses the issue, the topic of how we make our plans, how we use our time. So please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 13 to 17. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in our passage this morning, James gives us some advice when it comes to making our life plans. As you remember, James has been giving us a lot of instruction and explanation as how we should live as followers of Jesus Christ. How do we really live the faith? And so today he speaks about planning our lives. Now, two life lessons stand out in this passage, and they are begun in verses 13 to 14. The first life lesson is this: don't make plans without including God in them. Okay, let me repeat that. Don't make plans without including God in them. And second of all, don't boast in tomorrow. Two life lessons that stand out in this passage. Now in verse 13, James begins by addressing those who make plans to further their success and their wealth. This is the context of verse 13 in which James is talking and who he's talking to. He's talking to people that are making plans. And James was aware that there were some Christians in the church who were making plans with a worldly mindset and not with a godly mindset. Then in verse 14, he asked them to think about how futile it is to make plans for ourselves when we are not even guaranteed tomorrow. James is saying that we can have all the plans in the world to make money, to go to this place and that place, to do this, to do whatever. But none of us knows what tomorrow will bring. James says, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? Now, to be clear, James is not teaching against making plans. We are encouraged, actually, in Scripture to make plans. For instance, financial planning is good stewardship if it is done in dependence on God and with regard for biblical priorities. It is also wise to have a will. It is wise to have some savings to cover some possible future expenses or potential loss of a job. The Bible applauds hard work and being rewarded financially for it. It is good to make plans. The problem, however, that James addresses today in our passage is that his readers, there were those in the church that were arrogantly making plans for their future, but their plans did not include God. Let me read to you verse 13 again. Listen carefully. James says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city. We will spend a year there, carry on business and making money." Did you listen carefully to that one verse? There is a lot of mention of what we will do, but there isn't any mention of God. So this verse, if I could say it like this, this verse stinks of arrogance. And later in chapter 4, verse 16, James directly confronts this sinful attitude because the spirit of arrogance is a sinful attitude. Listen to how James responded to this attitude in verse 16. Verse 16, James says, "As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil." So here James warns against self-sufficiency and living apart from God. Now, Napoleon Bonaparte, he was a military genius, but his pride, his arrogance led to his downfall. He was about to invade Russia, but a friend tried to dissuade him. And when it became apparent that Napoleon would not be budged, the friend shared this familiar proverb, "Man proposes, God disposes." Okay? Man proposes, God disposes. And Napoleon, after hearing this, snapped back and said, "I dispose as well as propose." And a Christian, upon hearing this remark, said, "I set that down as the turning point of Bonaparte's fortunes." And sure enough, Napoleon's invasion of Russia was the beginning of his downfall. Just the audacity of his arrogance, thinking that really, he came across as believing that he was God. He could do whatever he wanted. James is writing to believers whose trust was not in God, but in their own self, in their own wisdom, in their own understanding, in their own business ventures, and in all of the money that they supposed that they would make. They were assuming that they were in control of their future and that everything would go according to their plans. Instead, they needed to acknowledge God's will. Listen to verse 15. "Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." The people that James is speaking to are boasting in their plans to make money and to be successful all on their own. Again, they have great plans, but their plans do not include the Lord. Look again at the four-worded question James asks in verse 14. He asks, "What is your life?" What a profound question. When was the last time you stepped back and reflected on a question like that? What is your life? This is an important exercise, actually, to step back, to reflect, to examine our lives. In fact, this is a discipline God requires all believers to do. And from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we come across this encouragement to stop, to be still, to pause, to look at your life. Are you headed in the right direction? Are you making choices with God's wisdom or your own? What is your life? James then goes on to answer his own question. He tells us that our life is like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Have you ever noticed how long the steam on your nice cup of coffee or tea lasts? Not very long. Well, according to God's word, that is how you need to look at your life. It is not very long. And if you have not done that in a while, then perhaps today is your day to remember how fragile and how short and how precious all of life is, everyone's life. How tragic the news this past week of the pilot of one of the Canadian snowbird jets that crashed in BC. Just like that, her life was over. Now, when she took off in that jet to do another flyby, I'm sure, you know, she was not thinking this would be her last flight. And now, her life is over. And we hear sad and tragic stories each week of lives suddenly coming to an end. Now, I'm not trying to be depressing here, and you may protest that to think about such things is morbid. I'm not suggesting that you obsess on this reality as well, but if you don't ever think about them, you will not live in proper dependence upon God. James is right. Life is a mist. Life is a vapor that soon vanishes. So life also is short and uncertain. There are no guarantees about tomorrow, let alone next year or 10 years from now. And if you ignore these things, you will not live your life properly in light of eternity. James wants us to know this because life is a mist. We should humble ourselves before God and obey His will. James is confronting an arrogant spirit that he had observed among the churches. There was a lot of plans with we, but they all excluded God. Although these people professed to know Christ, they were living with a worldly attitude. Now the Apostle John warns against this worldly attitude in 1 John 2 verse 15, where he talks about the boastful pride of life. You know, these believers that James were writing to, they were making plans without taking into account their own mortality and God's sovereignty. Now, Jesus often talked about, he often taught about how important it was to live in view of eternity and to remember God, who is always in control and aware of what happens on earth. In Luke chapter 12, for instance, verses 13 to 21, Jesus tells the parable of the rich fool. In Luke 12. And in this parable, like the prosperous man that Jesus talks about in this parable, these believers that James is writing to were saying, I'm going to build bigger barns to store my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? James says that you don't really know what tomorrow will bring. That's why Moses prayed in Psalm 90, verse 12. His prayer was, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. James tells us that we cannot really control the future because we are not God. But if we are honest sometimes, we act like we know everything. We act like we can control all things, like we can control what will happen tomorrow. We are fools if we think we can control any minute of the future. We don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't even know if we will make it to tomorrow. But of course, I hope we all do. James says that you and I are like a mist, a vapor. Our life appears just for a little while and then it's gone. It's like a bag of Doritos at my house. You open the bag, turn your head, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. Even if all your plans go exactly the way you want them to, and you do manage to amass a great fortune, or have the perfect family, or you built a great company, then what? All of that will fade away like a mist. Again, plans are good, so long as we include the Lord in those plans. Whether it is a plan to make a family road trip, whether it's a plan to renovate your house, a plan to get married. Listen, no matter how minor or major the plan is, talk to Jesus about it. Ask God to reveal His will and for you to know it and to walk in it obediently. We pray, we are to be praying, Lord, Thy will be done. I will set this plan in motion and trust in God's will. God wants to have a bigger and bigger part of your life, and that involves all the plans that you make. If you only talk to the Lord in prayer before a meal, what does that say about the kind of relationship you have with the Lord? It's pretty shallow, isn't it? Jesus wants to be part of every part of your life. In fact, when Paul says in Galatians 5 verse 16, so walk in the Spirit, what Paul means is that we are to be in surrender to the Holy Spirit all the time, in every part of your life. It's praying, Holy Spirit, influence and guide every decision that I make today so that I'm living according to God's will and plan for my life. And so that involves everything from your thought life to your actions to your attitude to your roles and responsibilities as a father or mother, husband or wife, whatever work that you do, as a neighbor even. Let me read to you verse 15 again. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now, what is James saying here? Is James saying that these are like magic words and if we just say them, everything will be okay? Of course not. It's the attitude behind the words that matters, the heart attitude. We need to put our hope, our faith, our trust and desire in the Lord. We need to be submissive to God's will and plan for our lives and plan for our church family and plans for God's work in this community. Whatever plans He has for me, that's what I want. Whatever trials God allows in my life to make me complete, I will accept them. However He wants to point out my sin and how I can grow in holiness, show me, Lord. However He wants to completely change the earthly plans that I have for my life and rewrite a completely new plan, I welcome it. And that's the point of what James is saying. It's the heart attitude behind the words that matters. Thy will, Lord, be done. And if we've given our lives to be followers of Jesus, then we must trust in Him and follow His will for our lives. Have you ever had to be blindfolded and have someone guide you with their words? It's an uneasy feeling. Unless you are guided by someone that you completely trust, then you can move with confidence. So do you completely trust God today for your life? Oh, that we would trust Him and do His will, whatever the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that, James says. I will marry that person if the Lord wills. I will go to that school if the Lord wills. I will have this many children if the Lord wills. I will retire at this age if the Lord wills. So are we understanding that what we want matters, but it doesn't matter more than what God wills and desires for our lives? Let me say that again. Are we understanding that what we want, it matters, but it doesn't matter more than what God wills and desires for our lives? Nothing happens outside the sovereign control of God. Not one breath is taken outside of God's control. Not one baby is born. Not one human dies. Not one diagnosis is made outside of God's providential hand. He has a will that is far beyond our own, and He has the wisdom and the power and the love and the awareness to see that His will comes to pass. We are completely dependent on Him, and so we must trust in the Lord each and every day. Finally, James concludes this chapter by again pointing us to humility and obedience. In verse 16 to 17, James says, as it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. What is James talking about here? Well, again, all such boasting is evil. We should not boast in our accomplishments, but we should humbly trust the Lord and live a life of holiness and obedience to Him. Again, this thought isn't new, but James is reminding us again through repetition. And why does he do that? Because we easily forget. We hear this over and over again. If we know the good that we ought to do and we don't do it, we are in sin. And what does that mean? Well, this is what Christian thinkers call the sin of omission. And the sin of commission is when you actually do something that you are forbidden to do. You commit. You commit the sin, commission. This would be like murder. The Bible says, do not murder. And if you do, you commit a sin. Now, the sin of omission is leaving out something that you are told to do. And this would be when you omit something. For instance, when the scripture says to love our neighbor and we don't, that's a sin of omission. Again, we are told to be ambassadors for Christ. And when we aren't, when we're not doing that, that's a sin of omission. Again, when we are told to give sacrificially and we don't, that's a sin of omission. When we are told to forgive and we don't, that's a sin of omission. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Let us instead humbly obey the Lord. Let us live today for the Lord, and let us trust the Lord for tomorrow. There is great comfort in the fact, in that fact, that no matter how your life turns out in terms of what the earth values, if you follow the Lord faithfully, you will have a life of significance. If you've given your life to Jesus today, follow him and trust him and follow him with humility. Consider the Lord's place in your future. Where does God fit in your plans? Even if everything in your life worked out perfectly the way that you wanted for 30, for 40, for 50 years, what will happen to you after that? What future do you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you given your plans over to him? The Bible says that you can be guaranteed to reap the reward of the most valuable thing in all the universe, and that is a relationship with your Creator and eternal life in heaven with him. So if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, then be a devoted follower of Jesus Christ daily. Be a doer of his word and put into practice the spiritual truths that James is teaching you about today in this passage. What is your life? As we close, I'm going to pray that the Lord will just lead us and guide us. I'm going to pray that the Lord will reveal his will to you so that you will walk perfectly in it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, all of the time that we have is in your hands. We know, Lord, that time is a gift from you. Please show us today how to use it to bring glory and honor to you. And let's share in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever.